after the time passes and 6 years you've gone out of prison and people know that you didn't do it, but not everybody will know. Maybe they won't say it as worldwide as they did the accusation. And then your kind of reputation is kind of ruined. One dangerous thing is that these kids are taking those viral clips and using that in their daily life, going around calling fat people whales to their faces and things like this. This is the kind of negative part that you can see. And this is the part where people are latching on, who already don't like his ideals. Those people are latching on to just that and vilifying him for that and saying, send him to hell.
It's funny, when I was on the run, I was going to go to, I just said you don't know who I am. What? Do you?
He said he was on the run. What, were you in trouble? Are you joking? Or
no, I was on the run for 3 years.
No way.
No way.
No, I did 13 years in federal prison. This is Matt Cox, and I'm going to be interviewing the Romaniacs. And I'm pretty sure I said that right. They've got multiple YouTube channels. They've been doing a lot of interviews in Bucharest, Romania, asking just street interviews, asking people, young people, old people, about what they think, old people, older people, whatever, individuals, Romanians, what they think about Andrew Tate and his entire situation. And the videos, I've only watched a couple of them, but they're really entertaining. They're great videos, and they've got a couple channels, and Colby, my producer, got them on the show, and I'm going to introduce them right now. So check. So I'm going to go from left to right. So it's David and Forza.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. And David, you're German?
Exactly. I'm German. Yeah.
And Forza, you're from England or London?
Yes.
Well, England. English, whatever. Okay, cool. So how long ago did you guys start your podcast?
Our podcast is now just...
It's new.
Two months old. Yeah. It's relatively new. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've got like almost 17, almost 20,000 subscribers.
That's on the main channel. Yeah. So we have another channel as well where we started a podcast, but we've been doing YouTube for maybe
a bit more than a year. Let's say YouTube we do now for 1 year and a few months.
Yeah.
The first upload was longer time ago, but that was a bit of different content. That was a few months earlier. Yeah. But proper YouTube about Romania since 1 year, let's say.
Yeah, there was like a video on like a tour, like touring Romania, where to go.
Yeah, we did a whole road trip series.
Yeah.
We went to loads of different cities and then we filmed it and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys are your students, right? International
students.
So
yeah.
Is that how you met?
Exactly. That is also the reason for us being in Romania, because we, like a lot of people in Europe, actually couldn't study in our home country because it's very hard to get a place. And like some people know, a good place to go is Eastern Europe, especially Romania. And then each one of us just came here. We met in the faculty. Forza is studying general medicine. Mm-hmm. I'm studying dentistry. And we both had been one of those people who really loved the country, because we have a lot of people who just study and then want to go home.
Yeah.
And then we actually started an agency, also bringing people here to study and earning a small living to pay our tuition. And through that, we promoted it with YouTube and came to the passion of videography, podcasting, all of that. Yeah, that's the story behind it, actually.
Okay. And then, so the videos that you made, you started interviewing people. Are those the only street interviews you've done? Is just the Andrew Tate thing?
No. I think those are the biggest videos that we have on our channel. Sitting out, I think we made the last one that we did. So we're questioning people on the whole prison situation with the Tates is at around 400K at the moment. But we do loads of different types of interviews in Romania to show the people how the Romanians think on certain topics. For example, when they weren't let into the Schengen area, we interviewed them and gave a real insight on how the Romanians feel about the situation and general other things that people might want to know about the people living in this country.
Yeah.
I actually had mentioned it to my girlfriend after watching the videos and I was showing them to her, was I was amazed that you know, I always think of like the US is kind of a little microcosm, right? Like, I don't think, you know, I think that we think in a certain way that, you know, granted there's influence, but culturally, I just assume other cultures are have a vastly different mindset. Mm-hmm. And watching your videos, I was amazed at how the young people that you were talking to have the exact same mindset as the Americans. They had the same, it was, you know, oh, he's a bad person. He should go to prison forever. It's like,
I mean, no matter where you go in the world, ideologies will never change, especially since social media is getting so big.
Yeah, I think that's the
where
point.
Points of views and things can be exchanged so easily. And the level of English in Romania is top notch.
Yeah.
So they're just consuming all the content that the US is pumping out, the UK is pumping out, and these ideologies are kind of being spread everywhere.
Yeah,
I definitely picked that up, which was shocking to me because anyway, I mean, it was definitely saturated. Mm-hmm. It was exactly like if you'd gone into Tampa, Florida and done the same thing, you would have gotten the exact same reaction. Like,
I think it would be worse.
Yeah.
It was split down the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to be fair and say that in Romania, just maybe to explain to the people who don't know so much about it, I don't want to blame the Americans for the geography, but culturally, I think a lot of people don't know. Romania is one of the unknown territories in Europe. No one had been there. No one traveled there. You just know the people who come to your country.
Yeah.
But it's a very misunderstood country. And one thing that we actually enjoy here is that the people are not eating everything that media and the people or the Western society is giving them. But of course, in those Tate videos, we aim for the more interesting people which have that reaction. Yeah.
Right. I was going to say I want to say, is it 30 years ago? Yeah, maybe in 94, 95, my parents went to Bucharest and my dad had dental work done.
Okay.
In Bucharest because it was so much less expensive.
Yeah.
And he had saved like $10,000 to have like a bridge put in or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, that paid for the whole trip.
Yeah. yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. There are also some people, I mean, Turkey is now the place to go, but it's, yeah, they love doing business with it too much than treating the person themselves. But in general, it's to say that the
Romania is known for dentistry,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Romania is known for it. And yeah, that's also why we came here to study as well. It's a good option. Yeah.
So when you go back to your home countries, you can like the your degree is going to transfer. Or you just you'll be allowed to take, like, I'm assuming you have. They don't want to like call them tests, but I forget what.
Yeah.
Like equivalation tests or something. But
right. So that's all. You'll just go over there, take the equivalency test, and you'll be a dentist or a doctor or.
Funny thing is that you don't have to.
No.
Since Romania is inside the EU, we don't have to take. I mean, being from the UK, we're no longer inside the EU, but we don't have any exams. Romania's degrees are just recognized fully.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like going to Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, like South or South Carolina or Ohio.
Yeah, we actually also have Americans here in Romania.
Yeah,
we have some guys. Where are they from again? I forgot. They're from Virginia, I think.
We have one person who's from close to Detroit as well.
Yeah, so we have some people from Canada. And the thing is, for them, it's much cheaper. Like, you know yourself, it's a fortune in America to study medicine or dentistry. They just come here, have a lifetime adventure for 6 years, and then they go back. But of course, the Americans have to do an exam to actually get their license in the US. But
So what are your plans? Well, one, you know, I'll ask about the Tate thing, but what are your plans like with your channel? Did you guys just got together? You met and said, hey, you know, I've been thinking about starting a channel. Do you want to do it with me? You know, and what are your plans for your channel?
The conception, I think David can tell you because I always forget. always forget.
We actually when I came and you know when I realized it's like a it's a life hack or it's really a cheat code in the end. You know, you can't get a place in your country. Your grades are too bad, and especially in Germany, where everyone is so minded into one direction. I just broke out of that, and when I realized it works, I was studying here. I was like, look, I can just come back. I was like, I have to tell more people because I know the suffering of wanting to study something and not getting the place. And then I want to start a blog, also started the agency. So I hope we can do some ads in here if that's no problem. Just talking about.
You can.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we then started helping others. So right now, if someone might be listening to this or know someone who wants to study medicine or dentistry, cheap, somewhere in a nice country, safe country, Romania is the place to go. We can help with that. With our agency Romaniac. And I want to do the agency work in the end to earn some money. And then there was the same time we met, and Forza was like, come on, we need to do YouTube to also have a good time here because it's fun and telling people. And Forza was also always recording himself just as a vlog for himself. And I was definitely not down for that, but I was like on the technical side. And then we agreed, I will do the editing, he will be in front of camera. But then he convinced me, was like, come on, we do it all together. And then that's
you're good in front of the camera, but you're not nearly as relaxed and charismatic. Yeah. Like Forza clearly has no problem approaching anybody.
Yeah.
You know, where you're a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm the German. I'm the German in the group. You know, I'm more the technical guy. I'm the nerd of the group, and Forza is more like he former actor. You know, he's more like this guy. Yeah,
more relaxed.
So my question is, if I was to go and let's say I wanted to get a one bedroom apartment in Bucharest, what would a one bedroom apartment be? Maybe not right downtown, but a reasonable price. Because I can tell you in the U.S., I had a one-bedroom apartment probably a little over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have a house now, but I had a one-bedroom apartment, and it was, you know, like the problem is they tack on all this stuff. Next thing you know, you're paying for this and paying for that and garbage and all these little things. But it basically was about $1,500 for a one-bedroom apartment. But you can get them for $1,200, but typically $1,500 a month to, I know people that have paid $2,000 a month for a one bedroom.
Where
right now, that same apartment is probably $1,700 or $1,800.
Where in the US? What state?
This was just outside of Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you wanted to get a one bedroom apartment in the city of Tampa, I know a guy who was paying, I think he was paying $2,200 for the same size apartment I had, but it was in downtown Tampa.
Okay.
But I was in like a suburb, which is just outside of Tampa. Nice area, brand new area, $1,500, which now is probably $1,700,
$1,800 a month. Yo. No, I mean, we have to try translate into dollars because we think about things in the local currency and in euros. However, I would say one bedroom apartment.
So it's one room.
No, one bedroom separated from the living room.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
That's $350.
Yeah.
$350.
Yes, and it's top notch, like furnished, fully furnished with TV, with everything, even spoon, fork, knives, cutlery, everything.
Mm-hmm. In a good area as well.
In a good area.
The city is not so big either, so you can get around very well.
That's insane.
It is.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why people should come here.
Yeah, that's why we're studying here. It's a dream for a young person. You know, you can really start living your own life. You don't depend so much on the parents.
Yeah,
it's good.
But especially if you did something where you were remote.
Yeah,
there are so many remote workers here from the US, from Australia, from random other places. Yes. Brazil, we've seen that are living here in Romania
for all the tech companies.
That's because tech is really big in Romania as well. They pump out loads of people who are technically savvy.
Yeah.
And there are companies that are here. English as well.
And you're saying English is widely spoken?
Better than in Germany, for sure. I can tell that for sure. Because, like, you know, I know maybe Americans don't know that. You're producing all the movies, all the shows with the UK. And basically, for German, French, Spanish, they have their own voice actor. So Vin Diesel will be spoken by the same German guy in every movie.
It's dubbed over.
Yeah, it's fully dubbed. And I grew up watching everything in German. And when I came here and I go to the cinema and I just saw like everything in English, and I was like, yo, those guys from the age, since they are small, they have to watch it
they sub everything.
In English. Yeah. And that is one of the reasons. So everything they consume from outside, they have to consume in English. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, in this case, it's a benefit.
Yeah, it is for sure.
Not for you guys, but for the Romanians as well, I guess. That's why there are so many Romanians who maybe want to leave the country, and it's so easy for them to do so, having another language in their pocket.
Yeah.
So how difficult is it to transplant yourself and say, okay, I want to be a, let's say, a permanent resident alien? Mm-hmm. You know, the equivalency in the United States, you would be a permanent resident alien, where you're not a U.S. citizen, but you live here, and you live here and you work here, but you're not a citizen. Like, is that mm-hmm. what happens when these workers are coming over?
It depends. When it's a different thing when people want to come here to work. If people want to come here to work, they have to find a job. That's first of all, or they have to open up a company here. To be able to get residency. Otherwise, as soon as their visa is up, whatever kind of visa it is, they'll have to go back home.
Yeah.
But as long as you can find a job, or if you have a visa that allows you to stay here for maybe 3 months or so, a lot of people do that, leave for another 3 months, come back, leave for another 3 months.
What if you already had a job? Like, you have a remote job where you're like, look, I have a job. It's YouTube. YouTube pays me.
That's a special case. We don't know. It's hard, but of course they want some kind of something that you can show for being the reason of you moving to Romania.
I would think you would have to, whilst you're here, I'll tell you something. Whilst you're here, if you want to come to Romania and you have your own remote job, whilst you're here on the 3 month visa or 1 month visa that you have, open up a company.
Yeah,
and it's very easy to do so.
Yeah, also you don't have to have a big entry capital, or are you saying
a big amount of money
capital. Yeah, you don't need to.
Yeah, it's funny, when I was on the run I was going to go to I just said you don't know who I am. What? Do you?
He said he was on the run. What, were you in trouble? Are you joking? Or
no, I was on the run for 3 years.
No way.
No, I did 13 years in federal prison.
No way.
I watched
Matthew Cox. What did you do?
I ran, you know, real estate scams and, you know, banking scams. I stole. So they said $55 million, but I ended up being personally held responsible for $15 million. Okay. And so when the FBI came to arrest me, you know, I went on the run for like 3 years, because it's just, you know, what I do. So, you know, I wasn't excited about going to prison. So I took off on the run, and I was on like the Secret Service's most wanted list. I was number one on the Secret Service's most wanted list. The FBI was looking for me, the U.S. Marshals, a couple states. And so I was on the run for 3 years, and there's a TV program in the United States called Dateline.
Yes.
No. Okay, so Dateline was going to do like a 1 hour special. I was in a bunch of newspapers and stuff. They were going to do a 1 hour special. So after about 3 years, I was going to go to Australia. And it was funny, because I could go to Australia, not as me. I had multiple passports. I've had like 24 passports in different people's names. I've had 27 driver's licenses in six or seven different states. You know, not my name, obviously.
Yeah,
bro, you got to listen. You anyway. So I was going to go to Australia. And so my girlfriend and I at the time, we were looking into it. And you at that time, you could go to Australia with, if you had $100,000 and a plan, a business plan to open up a business in Australia and hire Aussies. Like, you couldn't go there and get a job there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They wouldn't let you do that.
Yeah,
but they were okay with you opening a business and hiring Aussies.
Yeah.
So, but you had to have $100,000 and a plan. And the reason I wanted to be a permanent resident alien is, if you wanted to become a citizen, they fingerprinted you.
Okay.
And they sent off your fingerprints to the U.S. and asked, got a report. Well, I wasn't interested in
doing that,
part of that, because I was showing up as another guy, as someone else. I had surveyed a homeless person. I was surveying homeless people to get their IDs, and I'd gotten a passport in the guy's name and a driver's license, and I'd set up bank accounts and a corporation. So I was going there, with a few million dollars, but yeah, I was going to go there, open a business and stay, but I ended up getting, somebody turned me in and the Secret Service arrested me, and I went to prison and I did 13 years and I got out a few years ago. I started this YouTube channel and, you know.
It's fitting. It's really fitting for the kind of content that you
do. The thing is, I watched.
Now it makes sense.
I watched a lot of episodes, but I have to be honest, I didn't dive so deep in it. And I was like, I was just asking myself, where does this come from?
Where does the concept behind the channel come from? But it's clear now.
Yeah, that is also crazy.
When I was in prison, I started writing guys' stories, right? Like lots of guys in prison, and they can't write their own stories. I mean, it's hard to write your own story. It's hard to write about yourself because you just don't see yourself the way you really are. You don't see yourself the way other people do. So, you know, I wrote a memoir, my own memoir, and then I wrote a guy named, you know who, Ephraim Devaroli. Did you ever see the movie War Dogs?
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't.
That's fine. There's a movie called War Dogs. The main guy that Jonah Hill plays is named
I watched it. I watched it. Yeah, of course. Right. It plays in Bucharest, by the way. All the scenes in
oh, you're right. Scenes. Right.
Yes, yes. A colleague of mine was studying here. He just went on the balcony with a coffee and suddenly he was like, what the fuck? That's Jonah Hill walking there. It's one of my favorite movies. Yeah, it's very nice.
Well, the guy that Jonah Hill plays, his name is Ephraim Devaroli. He was in prison with me and I wrote his memoir.
What the?
So I then wrote a book called Generation Oxy, and I got the bunch of those guys in Rolling Stone magazine. I wrote like 5 or 6 books while I was there, and I wrote about 20 different short stories, and I optioned some of those short stories. And then so when I got out, everybody was telling me, you know, you've got to do a podcast, bro. You got to do a true crime podcast. Yes. But when I went into prison, there was no such thing as a podcast.
Yeah.
When I went into prison, there was no iPhone. So, that's crazy. You know, right. So I got out and I was like, it took me about a year or so to kind of figure out what's going on. Like, you know, this was like magic.
Yeah.
So then I finally did it. And I went on a show called Concrete and it got a couple million views. And then I went on Valuetainment and Vlad TV and Soft White Underbelly. So I went on those and those all got like millions of views. And so then I finally started about 2 years ago, I started my own podcast, which is this one right here, you know, and this is the thing, like I always tell everybody, like I kind of missed the wave. Like when I first started doing all of those podcasts, there was a huge wave of interest in my story. But by the time I started my own podcast, I had missed that wave. But you guys are riding that wave. Right? Like you've already got like what? You got 17,000 on one channel. I don't know what the other channel has, but in a couple months?
Yeah, one year basically.
Okay, in 1 year?
Yeah.
But those videos have to have blown up your subscribers.
Yes, for sure. The one thing is they've blown them up. The only thing which is, it's not a bad thing, but it's kind of, it could be better, let's say like that, is that the people who subscribe through those videos are not the ones we are aiming for with the normal videos. So let's say if half of them are Romanians who just see it and are like, oh, cool, that's fine. But we actually see that there's a lot of traffic from the US especially on those videos. So that's also why they don't bring as many subscribers as such a big video should normally bring.
As you think, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay, because they're looking for that type of content.
Exactly. Yeah. They click on the channel, they see they do content about the Romania thing of the video, not about Tate.
Yeah.
And that is when we think they're going to drop it. But nevertheless, we actually ride the wave in terms of Romania being an unexplored country. We are the biggest English-speaking YouTube channel of people who live in Romania.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I
think here's the thing, though. You both on those videos, even though it's a very brief interaction, you know, both of your personalities, you know, come across pretty well. So, I mean, I know what you're saying, like, but a lot of my videos, some are true crime. Sometimes I just have somebody on and I talk to them, but people tend to gravitate toward your personality a lot of time. And I bet you'd be shocked that probably, you know, I think you will get some people that will stick around just because, you know, just because they like you guys, your interaction with people, you're funny. You don't, you know, mm-hmm. neither one of you come off as a jerk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're very funny. You're both like nice guys. Yeah.
You thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
And my girlfriend always, people are always saying, you know, like, they'll always say, you know, God, you're amazing. You're so cool. You're this or that. And I'm like, I show my girlfriend, I'm like, look, this guy said I was amazing. This guy said, and she's like, he doesn't know you.
Yeah. But it's actually true. The same, of course, for you also with your story, especially, but even without the story. I mean, now that you said it, it makes sense and it kind of, I don't know. Yeah. It rounds up the whole thing. But for sure, what can be said, I had, when we started the YouTube channel, I was talking to someone who is basically the boss of the media part of DHL. Yeah, he was the media consecutive who would actually tell the people what they should say in front of when they would be interviewed, whatever. And he said that people are, when they listen to someone, the person can really talk the biggest trash. Mm-hmm. It is only about how you talk and if you're charismatic and how the person likes you. If the person likes you, you won.
Yeah,
and that's actually the thing, and that's the same that you definitely have as well on top with that story.
Is that charisma, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, so my understanding, the YouTube channel is, and your business model is that you take a fee to help people come to Romania, get situated, find an apartment, do what, you know, basically you lay the groundwork for them to have a smooth transition to come right in and not.
I would say that's half of what we do. That's the second half of what we do. The main thing that we can do for our students is actually applying to the university for them. Bureaucratic kind of applications and services in Romania are solely done in Romania. So the language is something that it's a big barrier for certain people who are coming here to either start working, to start studying, to do their residency with their doctors or dentists already. And that's one hurdle that we can push past for the students. So instead of them having to take trips to come to Romania and actually do the application to the universities themselves, having to get stamps at different places, we do that for them. And in a lot of cases, we can guarantee some students places at universities that they want to go to. So they just end up staying in whatever country they're in. Maybe let's say they're in the US. They're just sitting in their sofa. They send us by email all their documents. And after a couple of months, they've got an acceptance letter to a fantastic university and they're collecting their visa to actually come and study it.
Okay. So you're facilitators.
Exactly. Yeah. And then once they come, that's when we help with helping find apartments and all these other good stuff.
All right. Well, that's cool. So let me mention the Tate thing.
Yeah.
So were you guys aware of who he was?
Yes. Over the summer, man, he became the most Googled person ever. He was the most famous person on the planet. There was no, even my mother knew who he was. Everybody who was on social media, at least a little bit, knew who he was.
Yeah, it was the most Googled or searched name out there, more than Kim Kardashian, right? Massively huge. And then of course he got knocked off social media, and then there were all the rumors out there about, you know, what was it, the sex trafficking rumors. And like, have you seen The Vice, or have you guys followed so what did you saw The Vice documentary?
Yes.
What did you think of that?
I honestly have to say, this whole topic is a bit difficult. I can state for myself that I think it's hard for everyone to either know or not know if it's true. When it was set up, I have to say, since a few years, I'm very, very careful with what the media is telling, especially about people, because I myself experienced something that Tate is going through with my family, which was absolutely crazy a few years ago. That's actually one of the points where we started the business, you know, because we needed money, we needed to do something. That's when you start being creative, you know, for the same situation, financially, the family's right on the build up. I was in the same situation. So when, as soon as media is talking about people doing especially this nowadays, yeah, in the situation we're in with the feminism and stuff, raping women, touching them and this stuff, I first listen myself. I actually want to talk to the person before I believe anything else.
Right. Yeah. I can understand that. I've been locked up with guys that have had, you know, where they're very honest, where they're like, look, I did this, you know, but I actually one time took a plea. So I knew a guy who had taken a plea of sexual misconduct, but he had been accused of rape. Now the prosecution, he was going to go to trial, and at the last minute, the prosecution was like, look, we don't know that we can prove rape. Mm-hmm. So he just took a plea. But his whole thing was like, I went on multiple dates with the girl. We were together multiple times. And then suddenly she just decided to make this allegation. Yeah. So, you know, and things like that happen. And there are times there are multiple people that have been accused of, you know, rape, gone to prison, gotten out. And then it turns out that the girl says, oh yeah, I just made that up because I wanted to sue the school. Or, you know, yeah, like this guy just did 6 years for rape. Like that's no joke in a US prison. That's not something, you know, ruin this guy's life.
Yeah. Or like so, the guys in the Central Park Six, or how are they called?
Yeah. That whole movie came out about
that. Oh yeah. 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 Shoot.
The movie, the series Netflix, Now They See Us, wasn't it?
No.
I was thinking about the college students, right?
Yeah. That's the Central Park Six. Yeah.
Yeah, like they didn't have DNA. They said they had DNA. Like there was all kinds of stuff that they said they were practically planting evidence. Like, it was, look, you know, everybody, the U.S. in the United States, like there are a lot of people that think like, oh, the U.S. is not corrupt.
Yeah.
Or very. But the truth is like I've had a vastly different experience, although in my case, I'm 100% guilty. But I also was standing in front of a judge and listening to the prosecutor twist every single thing. It was like, I felt like saying, look, honestly, like what I did was bad enough. Like, do you really have to put it like that? Like you're twisting even everything.
More. Yeah.
You know, but so I can, and you know, it comes out all the time that there's, you know, DNA that's fake. There's all kinds of things that are faked, you know, transcripts, there's, you know, false statements, you know, false witness statements. Like that happens all the time. So I'm with you. Like, I'm very cautious on what the media says, because there are so many times where they say one thing and 2 years later, they say something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, it's
so detrimental as well. That kind of accusation can be so detrimental to people's lives, especially with guys. If they're in a big company or they're seen as a potential college football player or something like that, sometimes the way that you're viewed in the world as a man is directly proportional to how you feel a lot of the time. And if people go around saying that you've done something egregious, whether you've done it or not, regardless, after the time passes and 6 years you've gone out of prison and people know that you didn't do it, but not everybody will know. Maybe they won't say it as worldwide as they did the accusation. And then your kind of reputation is kind of ruined.
Yeah. Forever. Well, absolutely. Yeah. That's, you know, and look, you know, on the other side of it, hey, maybe it's absolutely true.
It's
a very real possibility. And, you know, and let's face it. I mean, you've seen, you know, Andrew Tate, like he's clearly given them enough rope.
Yes.
Yeah. To hang him. You know, he has said enough derogatory things that it's that he's not doing himself any favors.
Yeah.
It's like I always mention, I've mentioned this before. People get mad at me for saying this. Like he's not saying anything that is. About 80% of his message is the same message that Jordan Peterson says.
Yes. Ben Shapiro
says. It's like, get up early, take care of yourself, be a man, take care of your, you know, your wife, you know, work hard, be a provider. Like, these are basic things. The problem is that Tate's delivery is so bad.
And he injects, he injects certain things that he knows will trigger people
For
the virality.
Yeah, that's what it's in the end, it's a business model. I think he really sat down. He was like, how can I mean, his whole business model is genius. We all know about it. But I think that is actually the difference. Like, and there's the point where he's different, for example, to Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
Jordan Peterson is someone, if you want to actually, that people value what you are saying and take you serious, you need to know how to fight. And the fight means, like he always says, become a monster and learn to control it. Tate is the monster, but he can't control it. That is the big problem where people start getting aggressive and want, like, I just want this guy in prison. I mean, it's as simple as that. There are, if you as a man, especially nowadays, if you behave like him, even in a school class, in a school, it can very easily happen that some girls just are like, hey, he touched me. Like, this kind of mentality start evolving. And that's what I think he knew beforehand, for sure.
For sure. He's a very smart guy. And I think one thing that some of his viewers, some of the young men out there, or the young boys, don't necessarily tend to know is the difference between when he's being very serious or when he's trying to market himself and be viral. Because I think in his normal life, you've seen clips of him just daily going around. He's not always going around saying the crazy clips that you see on TikTok everywhere. And I think one dangerous thing is that these kids are taking those viral clips and using that in their daily life, going around calling fat people whales to their faces and things like this. This is the kind of negative part that you can see. And this is the part where people are latching on, who already don't like his ideals. Those people are latching on to just that and vilifying him for that and saying, send him to hell.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely see that. And that's exactly what's happening, especially with the clips. You said something and I was going to, it made me think about something. I know what it was. The Vice video.
Yes.
Like, have you ever seen Fight Club?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why that very much, his whole Tate, the Hustlers University that is spun off and they got a smaller group. I forget what the name of it was called, but that met in Romania. They had a whole group. Like, I don't know why it seemed like a much cleaner version of the Fight Club.
The War Room.
The War Room.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was watching and I was like, boy, this is like, and those guys, like, you know, of course they idolize him.
Yeah, and they want to be, it seems like a cool club of people. It seems like, I mean, these people are very wealthy. They dress very nicely. They get a lot of women. So it's fantastic for the younger people in the Hustler University or maybe who haven't signed up to look up to these people in the war room. It says war anyways. These guys are like fighters. They're like soldiers for manhood.
And that is something that men, especially nowadays, are missing. Like, there is for sure something missing, but they see it in the wrong thing.
You know what's funny too? I don't know what it's like in Germany and England, but literally you can meet, if you went out right now and surveyed 100, let's say 19 or 20 year old kids, half of them don't even have driver's licenses. I grew up, listen, I was dragging, at 15 you can get your learner's permit. I was dragging my mother to give me the learner's permit. At 16, like the day after I turned 16, I was like, we got to go get my driver's license. I got my driver's license. Now there are 20 year old kids, 22 year old kids, they don't have a driver's license. They don't have a job. They're living in their parents' spare room. They play video games 12 hours a day. They do is complain about the world. And then they can't get a job. You're playing video games 12. I know a guy that just got out of prison. He has three. He got three job offers within about 2 weeks.
That is true.
I'm definitely one of those people who just got my lab license.
Yeah, but you're from London.
There's something different as well.
But in general,
I got mine last year.
Yeah, but I remember because I also grew up more countryside, so I was also one of those people. I remember I was talking to my parents. I was like, I told them I want my driving license to be paid as soon as I can do it. My mom was like, if you don't smoke until you turn 18, I will pay your driving license. And that actually happened. I got it paid and I did it directly. But that's also something I realized. And you directly get a tech nowadays if you talk about it, or those people who study, because in Germany, you have to know studying is for free. So it's paid by tax money. And the people just start studying for 2 years, then they drop it completely. They just do something else. They drop it. They do something else just because they love this time of just, you know, you go to course if you want to. You stay home when you want to. You are in a fancy apartment with two other young guys just going partying. And that is something I was wondering. I was like, my dad is like, I have this friend there. He opened that business. I have that friend there. He worked for someone, then opened his business. He did that. I was like, wait, is it my friends or is it just everyone? I just look around and I'm like, no one is doing something. Everyone is just comfortable consuming some nonsense at home on their sofa and doesn't want to go out in that world, build something, help other people. Of course, you can also do that for money. It's a normal thing, but just do something.
And, oh yeah. No, you have to have purpose. If you don't have purpose,
You're just drifting around.
Yeah, you're drifting around. Before you know it, you don't know why you're even here, and you're ready to commit suicide. I mean, it's funny, and there's so many people, so many guys, gravitate towards someone like Tate because like they don't understand, they don't have a girlfriend, they don't have friends, they don't have but you're not doing anything. You're not the kind of person that someone gravitates toward you're playing, Minecraft, 10 or 12 hours a day. You don't leave. Your friends are on, Facebook or, Discord. Instagram.
Yeah.
You're not trying to get a degree. You're not trying to work, I put in an application. Like, stop, bro. Come on. Well, the economy, stop it.
There's always somebody's grass that needs to be cut. There's always somebody's there's always somebody's snow that needs to be shoveled. There's always something that somebody can do to get out of the house, even if it's not going to be paying their bills, even if they still have to stay at somebody's couch, they can still get by. But I think people are very lazy. And also some people don't have that kind of father figure or somebody who's going to push them and shout at them, tell them, what are you doing? Like Tate. A lot of people...
But people seek that. People want that. That is the big problem. And that's why when someone comes up, or that's why people maybe choose also next to Tate other celebrities as their kind of role models, where you would normally say like, oh my goodness, how can you? But those people don't have orientation. They search for someone. And if especially like borderline kind of characters come on stage like Tate, for them, that's like, wow. And that paired with the masculinity message that is quite clearly missing. I remember when I was having a fight in school, I was like, the teachers were pointing me out like a monster. My mom was just like, look, it's a guy, it's normal. I will tell him that he should not do it. And it's not nice to have that in school, but I will not be like treating him like he's so strange because he's something. Yeah. And that's what is happening. So we don't go to military no more. All of that stuff is gone. Men just hang around with women instead of just having just times where you're just with men. And that is, I think, why the Tate message is just booming. And all the guys are like, yes, this is what I was waiting for all my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, it's funny. Two things came to mind is one, the Fight Club scene where, and I only say this because I just watched it again last night, what was his name?
I'm very bad. Names. I'm bad with names. I can't.
No, the guy. Tyler Dearden.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the Brad Pitt character. Tyler Dearden, where he says, we're a generation of men raised by women.
By women, yes. Yeah.
Basically, masculinity has just been bred out of them.
Yeah.
And so that's why they start the whole Fight Club thing. And I was just thinking as I was watching it, I was like, Tyler Dearden. I was thinking that's that's Andrew Tate. I'm telling you, that's what this is.
Yeah.
That's what this is. And I, in the Hustler University or the War Room, I thought that's exactly what's happening. Like these guys idolize him. The one guy was so disappointed in himself for not wanting to fight. And this is the thing, like having been in fights, you know, they show the fights, but you know, fights are brutal.
Of course.
You don't get three punches and you're okay. You know, these guys are beating each other up, broken noses, broken, you know, broken cheekbones, ribs. I mean, you can seriously harm someone in a fight, knocking out their, I mean, you think, oh, it's they're boom, 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 boom. And then they look great, you know, 20 minutes later in the movie. Well, it ain't a movie.
Yeah.
You don't really get hurt.
Yeah. So
that made me think of it. And then the other thing made me think about it was when I got out of prison, I wanted to work at McDonald's.
Why?
Like, here's why, is because I remember thinking the first thing I did was I called a friend of mine and I said, hey, listen, he's like, hey, where are you at? I was like, oh, I'm in the halfway house. And he said, man, can I do anything for you? I said, I need a job. But I really kind of expected him to say, I'm sorry, man, I don't have a job.
Yeah.
But instead he was like, absolutely. And I was like, oh, wow, that was easy. So I got lucky.
Yeah.
But I remember telling everybody when I was getting out, they were like, where are you going to work? And I was like, McDonald's. And they go, what? I said, because I want to start at the bottom.
I
want to be able to tell people in 2 years or 3 years, when I hear somebody complaining about life, I want to be able to look at them and say, bro, 2 years ago, I was working as the fry cook at McDonald's while living in a halfway house. So spear me your hardship story.
You
know, like I wanted to work, start there and go all the way up. But instead, my buddy who owns a gym hired me immediately. So I'm almost disappointed that he hired me.
you wanted that crazy success story.
Yeah.
I did want that.
Yeah. I think the story is still great. To be honest.
You know, and I didn't even mind, like, in a way, it was like, it was in a way I wanted to put myself in that situation. Cause look, let's face it, working at McDonald's is humiliating.
Yeah, I've worked at McDonald's, it's not nice.
Right. Well, I'm saying when your friends see you, you're like, oh man, I'm like cooking stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a great job. Yeah. So, but I wanted that. I wanted that humiliation of being the fry cook. Mm-hmm. And starting here and going up. I wanted that. Like I was good with that humiliation.
Yeah.
And I think now, like, people think, kids think, oh, I applied to be a CEO of Sony Records. And they hire me.
They actually want this magic pill of just put in the work for like one day and then you have everything. But the funny thing is, when you actually start from the bottom, or you have something like I said just before, that me and my family went through something, you just get dropped by to zero. You're on the first level again, and first moment, of course, it's fucking annoying, it's crazy, you're just in your head like, why me? Every day you're just, why me, why us? But then you start actually realizing after some time, wait, I can't lose, I'm on the bottom, and everything I do from here can just be good. And now actually getting friction with the YouTube, with the company while studying, which is also not normally, I'm like, yo, this feels 10 times better. So I kind of understand, like, it's really nice to start from zero, start by yourself, and actually then you are able to help others and be like, look, your story is just amazing. And you can just really show people, look, there is no excuse in life.
Yeah, what people don't understand is that, sorry to cut you off,
go ahead.
The starting from the bottom thing is very daunting. We all know that it's a very scary thing to start from zero, to start from a place of humiliation where you maybe see your peers on a higher level than you are at. But the things that are important in that time are the character building skills that you will learn to bring yourself up. And it's those things that are invaluable and are oftentimes very hard to develop if you start off at the top.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, one generation builds the wealth and the next generation will spend it. Their kids will spend it because they don't appreciate what it took to get it.
Exactly. Yeah. And
it's definitely character building. Absolutely. That's a perfect way to put it. So I have another question. Have you guys thought, have you ever seen, and I understand this isn't what your YouTube channel is about.
Shoot.
But you guys are so good at the on the street interviews. Have you ever seen these, the, there's people there in, and I want to say this is in London, where they, good neighborhood, car alarm.
No, it's the
ambulance.
He's an ambulance hospital. Romania is pretty safe. Like, honestly, I never saw a fight on the street in 4 years, nothing.
So I want to say this was in London, where they were walking around and they were asking people questions like in the United States, how much do you think it costs to have a baby?
Okay.
Like to have a child. Yeah. And then people would give their, they'd go, oh, I don't know. That's right. You guys pay for that. Okay. $500. And then they would tell them how much it, the average child cost.
Yeah.
You know, and then it, which is, I don't know, it was like $12,000 or $15,000 in hospital bills. And they would go, oh my God. So they would ask questions. And of course, in the US, they come and they ask them things like, how many states are there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the average kid that they ask like doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know, they ask them when World War II started. They ask them just basic questions, but it's great interaction for the guys asking those questions. And usually those also make very good shorts.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a great way to generate leads, to get new leads, to get views and new subscribers. And I was thinking it like, because you guys were so good, I wonder if there wasn't some way you could do the same thing on the streets, you know, in Bucharest, like even if it was like, do you know what, like, how much do you think in a one bedroom apartment cost in the United States?
Yeah.
And then maybe the average is $1,800 a month. And people there would say, oh, about this much. And you could calculate it and say, so you think it costs, you know, $600 or $600, you know, $600. And you'd say $1,800. They'd be like, no.
Go, yeah.
Yeah. You could do all kinds of stuff. And that still falls in your wheelhouse, right? Like, how much is a college course? How much is like those? Yeah. And that still falls in your wheelhouse of, hey, come to Romania, go to school here. You could do college courses. You could do, what else? Well, I mean, you could do gas prices, college courses. You could do clothing. You could do electric. You could do, there's all kinds of stuff you could do to try and generate interest to get people to come to the channel and see what you
guys have. That's actually a good idea.
Yeah, because we'll get a lot more American audience as well.
Yeah, other audience than the one we have already.
Well, you could also do it in, you know, you could say the same thing. You could say, how much do you think, how many, you know, in pounds or in whatever in England or in, you know, Berlin, or you could do, well, you could do any place that you're trying to target to get people to come.
That is actually a good idea. We never thought about that.
Yeah. Cause I mean, then you can put them up as shorts.
Yeah.
And they would go crazy. I mean, shorts, TikToks are the way to do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, on our second channel, we started it from zero. This was at a point where our first channel had very small amount of subscribers, and we started off the podcast. We're getting very little amount of views, and then we just cut up the podcast viral parts or viral moments where we spoke, and we put it on our Instagram, on TikTok, and that really shot up. That, those are the best reels that we have.
Yeah.
Nice.
Also, the interview ones as well, they go insane.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on back to the Andrew Tate thing? What are your thoughts on what do you think is going to happen? I mean, you guys have a better sense of the system there.
Yeah, the system is.
You think it's just hit?
The system is changing for this case as well. You can see sometimes some things are not really in accord with the current laws that are in place here. I don't think there's enough evidence on him. I don't think there is nowhere near enough evidence to really put him down.
Yeah, same. It's one of those things where I think some stuff could have happened for sure. Like, not always treating the woman the right way. Like in general, those people who have a lot of money, not everyone, of course, but the people with a lot of money and a lot of power tend to to tell others what they have to do, how they actually build their life, and you have to do this, that, whatever. And there I can imagine that there were some rough conversations or kind of those things. But in general, we will see if there's any proof. But I don't think personally in that direction that there will
something. I think also there's maybe four women involved. One of them, it's a bit shady because she was involved in something before, like a prior accusation with her boyfriend finding out that she was at the place and everything. And then two of the other ladies kind of came out and said they don't want to be part of the investigation. They're not really they're not really accusing the Tates of anything. And the other one, I think, was on Vice. But she's at the end of the Vice documentary, they also explained that she was trying to set something up with her friend to set up the Tates, trying to ask if we should lie about certain things, whether they gave us alcohol or never. It's there is nowhere near enough.
Yeah,
I mean, if it goes down, then that will be crazy.
I think the point when you even ask about the system, we can say following in Romania, the system, we quite clearly can say, let's say like this, that it's not our own opinion. Romania is in Europe known to be corrupt.
Yes,
that is definitely Eastern Europe. The thing that is right now, the big question, the Tates came to Romania because they were saying we are safe here, even with a lot of money. We have to let them know beforehand. We cannot just come and spend loads of money driving crazy cars and then get ripped off by the Romanians themselves who have the power. But the thing is, they came for that, to be safe. And a thing that we also have to say, they had a massive impact on bringing Romania on the map, because no one knew about their country. You don't have big celebrities, just some people like some Hollywood stars that have like one Romanian parent, but they really brought it on the map. This guy, the most Googled person for like 4 months, was living in the capital city of this country. And he was always talking about how nice it is, how safe it is, how good the people are, how he can live there safe with a lot of money, leaving a club in the middle of the night, being drunk with a $500,000 dollar watch, and nothing would happen. And that is for sure true.
Yes.
For the coming from London, me even coming from German countryside, here it's just super safe. There is really nothing you can, there's nothing. But for us, the confusing thing is when they get arrested, everyone was like, got this feeling of the police getting corrupted over the Tates by someone else.
Yes, that's the feeling that there is, that there's a higher power that have kind of had something to do with their arrest.
They had a hand on it. There was somebody putting pressure on them. The U.S.
Exactly. That's the impression.
Yeah, that's the impression. Because beforehand, what we think could have happened is, I mean, he has a lot of money. He knows the right people here. He knew them before he moved here. So that even saved him beforehand all the time. Now the sudden arrest, everyone's like, wait, there has to be maybe some player in the game now who even has more money.
And certain things going on in the court case as well. I think their lawyer came out on Romanian national TV and explained a little bit what's going on behind scenes. I'm sure a lot of people, loads of your viewers, have maybe seen a translated version of this interview with the lawyer. And he stated, I don't know if this is true because this is out of his own words, but he stated he only had maybe 45 minutes to read hundreds and hundreds of pages of evidence that is proposed against the Tates. And that's not right at all. How are you meant to build up a proper defense case with only 45 or so minutes reading through all the proposed evidence against your client? So there are a couple random things which are a bit fishy going on with the whole procedures that make it seem like there's somebody else having their hand in the whole situation.
Yeah, that's the concerning part, is like if the system itself is against you, kind of like he says, which to me is comical, when he literally was being arrested and said the Matrix
is coming.
It's movie-like. It's so epic.
In the middle of this whole thing, you come out with that?
Yeah.
Wow. Like you're always in character.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, that was actually wild. Yeah.
But it does make me think, like when I see that, you know, it's like, okay, well, if the system is against you, then you've got a real problem.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, there's no evidence, there's no this, there's no that. It's like, but the whole system's working against you. And it, you know, do they have the jury system there, or they have just a judge?
I believe it's just the judge system here.
Right. So that to me worries me. I was talking to my girlfriend about that. I was like, I'll take my chances with a jury. At least there's 12 of them. Yeah, you got to convince almost everybody.
Yeah.
You get one corrupt judge.
And it's over.
And it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really difficult. We really don't know how those things are handled. But in the end, look, we don't know, because maybe he really did a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
That we don't know about. Possible. And let's imagine he's like the craziest. He's so charismatic and can really dive so much into this role that he does his criminal things and on top builds this business. I mean, that would be really ridiculous if he then, I don't know how intelligent he has to be, but building the business on top of that, hustles university, the war room, and in everything plays that character the whole time, knew they're going to come for me and I'm going to put them as the metric. Basically, he's turning around the game. So not the system is like the fictionary character, the Matrix. He is like the villain, and the Matrix is not the Matrix. The Matrix is just our normal system. And that could also be the case. And in the end, he would lose. He knew the whole time they're going to come for me. Mm-hmm. And that drags the people even more in, his fans, like, oh my goodness, look, they are coming. And even we had people on the interview, maybe you remember, there was a group of guys with a girl as well who was saying that he should be freed. One guy said he thinks he's guilty, but still he should be freed, because that shows like the people are not thinking properly anymore.
No, a lot of them were like that. Like, oh, he says misogynistic things, he should go to jail. Like, okay, well, being a jerk doesn't mean you have to go to jail.
I mean, we interviewed a lot of people. We cut out maybe a lot of other parts that where we were interacting with them. We wanted to show a lot of different points of view, but we would often at times tell them that, look, I hope you know that he's not going to jail because he's misogynistic or because you don't like him, that there's actually something way bigger, a huger reason why he's in prison or maybe might be incarcerated for a long time. It's not because he goes against the views that you like or because you think he's a mean person. It's crazy. Yeah. It's insane that people nowadays think that somebody is rightly should be put in jail for opinions or based on what they say. It's wild. It really is.
Yeah. Well, you know, having been in prison for a significant time, I can tell you that the majority of time they get it right. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of those guys, you don't want living in your neighborhood. You know, most of the guys that I've met in prison, I've met some amazing people in prison. Mm-hmm. But it's funny too, because most of the people that I really met and thought were phenomenal and amazing and brilliant would also tell you, oh, I should be here. I definitely did this. You know, nobody ever thinks they should be in prison as long they were given. Like, if it's 5 years, they're like, they could have given me 2 years. And it's like, everybody's crying, you know, but almost nobody ever says I shouldn't be here. Yeah. I've only met two people the whole time I was locked up that ever said, no, I got an appropriate sentence for what I did. I'm perfectly happy to do what I got a good deal. Only two, you know.
Crazy.
One was a counterfeiter who got counterfeited millions of dollars worth of credit cards for the Russian mob. And he was like, he got 2 years, and he was like, hey, I'm happy with 2 years. And another guy who was driving through, he was a trucker on methamphetamine. He ran over two hikers while driving through a national park, and he killed them, and he got 15 years. And he said, I am absolutely okay with 15 years. He goes, it's manslaughter. I'm perfectly okay. He said, I'm perfectly okay with the sentence. He goes, I killed two people. He said, 15 years for two people. He said, honestly, he said, I got a deal.
I think so as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was, you know, and he was super up. I feel like he was almost upset that he got the 15, that he only got 15 years.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned it, he would get teary eyed.
Yeah. So he really regretted so much.
Yeah. And not everybody does, but he did. It was clearly an accident. Like, he was on drugs. He fell asleep. He ran off the road and happened to hit these two hikers, and he was all torn up about it. But yeah, anyway, I'm sorry, you were saying.
That is insane.
Oh, I have horrible stories, bro.
Yeah, I can imagine. I have enough
tragedies.
Yeah, also when you had been for 15 years, you said 13. Yeah, but still, you see so many people just coming and going, and so many people you talk to, so many stories. And how I just now speaking to someone who was so long in prison. How is it in general? You said before you went to prison before iPhones actually hit the market. Is it that you guys, how do you say,
see
the development outside of prison? Or is it just that you come out and you're like, what is this? What is that? What's going on here?
Oh, yeah. It was like stepping into the future. It was insane. Like, I remember somebody had emailed me something and I needed to print it.
Yeah.
It was like one of the first or second days I was at work, and I went up to my buddy, my boss, and I said, hey, look, I have this email. I have to print it. I said, how can I print it? It's in my email. And he goes, okay. He goes, here, email. He goes, you know what? He goes, give me your phone. He goes, just email it to me. Emailed it to him. And he sat there, went like this for a minute. And he goes, okay, it's over there. And I went, what? He goes, I printed it. And I went,
yeah.
No, bro, I'm serious. I said, I need to print this. And he goes, I printed it. And I went, how? He goes, off my phone. I go, how? And he went, the Wi-Fi. He said, my phone's connected to the Wi-Fi, which is connected to the printer. So I printed it. And I walked over and he had printed like 5 documents. And I was like, wow, like that's insane. That's crazy. And, you know, we're watching whole movies on our phone. I was like, this is insane. Yeah. Like, there were so many crazy things that I was unprepared for. Because there was no access to the internet when you're in prison.
Yeah.
There's really not even access to email.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Was that scary?
I mean, in an awkward way, like I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you ever heard that there are guys that will get out of prison and they want to go back?
Yes.
So you get out and you're so uncomfortable in the environment. And I was so used to my routine that like at 4 o'clock every day, they count you no matter where you are. The whole time I was in 4 o'clock, you better be standing in your cell. They're going to count you.
Mm-hmm.
About 3:30, 3:40, no matter where I was, I felt extremely anxious in a way I can't explain. Like, I mean, like jittery, like I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And it's hard to explain. It sounds ridiculous, but there were so many times when this went on for about a year, I genuinely thought when I got out of the halfway house, I genuinely kept feeling like somebody was going to show up and say, we made a mistake. You're supposed to be. They released you. You're supposed to be in prison. Like, if they had shown up, I probably would have felt relieved. It took about a year before I really felt comfortable just out being out and about and with the technology. Yeah. And at this point now, everybody I know that's my age is like, man, you've surpassed, you know, you're great with the technology. You're great with all the things that you're doing. But I had to really, you know, really take it seriously. And it's almost like you have to study where young kids, I have an assistant and I'll say, hey, how do you do this? I need to do this. And she'll go, here, give me your phone. And I always have to basically say, no.
Show me
how to do it. I need to do it. Because, you know, she'll go, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. There, it's done. And I'm like,
Yeah, that is actually ridiculous. How was it for your that is actually very interesting, because for us humans, it's very good to have our routine and actually go after that. And that is also what a lot of people like Jordan Peterson and all the gurus of our time are telling us, like, stick to certain things. How is it for you now? Because I think in prison you have like the craziest ever routine. Like, every morning you do always the same following steps, same in the evening or during the day. How was it then coming out now also doing the podcast? I guess you have kind of a very free day to structure as well. Mm-hmm. Like, some work you do is more audit, but some is more like the YouTube. You can think about what do I do today. How was that then? Like this, not only the switch, but how is it now for you?
I very much like the routine in prison. You know, the problem with it is that it's not comfortable. Like prison is not mm-hmm. designed to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, the mattresses are horrible. There's no place. Every chair is this hard plastic or concrete. Like it's a very uncomfortable environment. So to be uncomfortable all the time, and the food is, you know, it's not horrible, but it ain't great. Yeah. And like everybody out here, like I'll go somewhere and, you know, like you can order anything on the menu. They don't serve anything bad out here. So, you know, so it's like, I'll eat whatever, you know, yeah. You know, oh, Matt, do you want this? Do you want this, bro? I'll eat whatever you bring me. Mm-hmm. And so being out here, like I said, it took a little bit to transition, but there's still some things like I can't sleep past probably 5 o'clock. Like they turn mm-hmm. on the lights at 5 o'clock. You wake up, you got to get out of bed. I still make my bed. My girlfriend, you know, the girl that we're engaged to be married.
Oh, congratulations.
It's so funny to mention. I met her in the halfway house.
Wow, really? So
she did 5 years in prison.
Wow. That's good.
So that's we insane. Both get up in the morning. We make the bed. We make our coffee. We, like, it's not like either one of us wants to sleep till 9. Even today, I was up at 3 or 4, and I came down here and I started writing for about an hour or so. Then she came down and made coffee, and then we went to the gym. Like, that was our routine in prison. You get up, you make coffee, you wait for them to open the doors, you go to the rec yard, you work out, you come back to the unit, you get counted, you go to eat lunch, then you go to do whatever job you have to do. You know, it's a whole routine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's you just have to switch your routine. I mean, like you know, just like you said, routine is it's very comforting. Do you guys have anything else you can think of that you want to talk about? Or I mean,
I have thousands of questions, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, I'll talk for hours. So I'm a talker.
Yeah. Do you have another question? I have to think, but I have a lot. I just have to for a second think about.
Like, there's no, listen. Let me tell you, it's funny. I've done a lot of podcasts, and guys are like, "Is there anything that's like off the table?" Like, well, like,
yeah.
You think you're gonna make me look bad? Like, no, there's nothing off the table. There's nothing you can ask me that I'm not gonna be like, yeah, okay, this is what happened. This is, you know,
yeah.
Which some of them are, you know, some of the things are brutal. I mean, you know.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
You did a lot to get yourself into prison for 13 years. But I want to know what happened in your, I guess, your early adulthood or your late teen life that led to you diving into this type of world.
So it's funny because I wrote a memoir, right? And I got a literary agent. He read it. Like, he came to the prison and he had read it and came to the prison. And I remember thinking he was coming to say, hey, I want to represent you. And he came and he said, you have an amazing story. Mm. He said, but you come off like a complete sociopath.
Wow.
And he said, the problem is, he said, when you end up getting your sentence, I thought, good, fuck him. He deserved it. Mm. And he said, but I've spoken with you. And he also knew my sister. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I know that there's stuff about your youth and growing up that you didn't put in the book. Mm. And I went, oh, nobody wants to hear about that. And he goes, no, I want to hear about it. People want to know. People want to know why you did this instead of becoming, he said, you know, the CEO of a company or a doctor or a lawyer or any of the things that you could have been. Why did you do this? And so I went back and I had to rewrite the whole memoir. Yeah. And the one thing that was a huge influence on me was my father. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was raised by a strict conservative Catholic mother. Mm-hmm. My father was an alcoholic. And to sum up what you said is, you know, my father was a binge drinker, right? But he was a functional alcoholic. So he would get sober for 3 months or 6 months, and then he would go on a binge for 2 weeks. And everybody would coddle him. Like everybody, you know, everybody made sure that he was okay. They would cover for him. They would enable him, like, you know, an enabler. Yeah. They were all enabled. Everybody enabled him. And even his work, he worked for State Farm Insurance.
Okay.
His work would find out that he was on a drunken binge, and they would, they'd call him in the office. They would say, we're going to put you into an alcohol rehab center. And they put him in three or four times into and I don't mean like a 10-day program. We're talking about 60 days, 30 days, 90 days. Sober up for a year or two and start the process over again. The thing about my father was he was also the top in the Southeast region. He was the top performing manager.
That's why
he made State Farm a ton of money. My father made a ton of money. And what I realized growing up was you could pretty much behave however you want to behave as long as you make money. And the only thing that mattered in life was making money. And yeah. one of the examples I give is I was, God, how old was it? I don't even know. I was 8 or 9, something like that. Maybe I was 10. I don't know. And we were going to the movies, and I was like, let's say I'm 9 years old. I got my little Izod t-shirt on, my little Izod shirt, you know, we're in my dad's new BMW. He's driving, he's in his suit. He's smoking a cigarette. And I looked over at the car next to us. And in the, it was a, I remember this day, it was a beat up Chevy Nova. And it had a bunch of dirty little kids sitting in the back, and they were staring into my father's car, and they were looking at me. And I remember immediately feeling ashamed and embarrassed. Like, we had money and clearly we're going to the movies, you know, on Saturday. And clearly these kids look like they're living a having a horrible existence. And I remember being embarrassed, and I looked up at my dad, and he looked at me, and he looked over at those kids, and he goes, huh, I wonder what the poor are doing today. Oof. And I just remember thinking, like, I was like, wow, like it, and he kind of chuckled. And I thought, like, it's a us and them, and the difference is money.
Yeah.
And whatever you have to do, it is always better to be driving the BMW than the Nova.
Yeah.
And I think that that really, really, his behavior had a very drastic, you know, effect on me. Dozens of stories like that.
Yeah, so basically, that's something we actually spoke about today. So what you say is that you actually got conditioned into, doesn't matter what I do, I have to make money. It doesn't matter. As long as the money is good and a lot, it doesn't matter what I do, how I behave towards people. Is that right. What you, yeah. And we were talking about exactly that, because that is something we both have to say, coming back to the Tate thing. We love that there is a voice coming from the other side, because all the voices nowadays are coming from the left. They're all pushing this agenda of making men weak. So we like that. But the thing where we can't say that or count us to his followers and fans is the point, firstly, that it's only about money. You are just worth something when you have the money. And those guys, they don't care about anything else. It's ridiculous. When you have contact with those people, for example, one guy was just using our video, our content to make his own reels and whatever. And we know it's good for us as well. But we kind of hit them up and be like, hey, yo, could you at least write us in the credits? This guy was just like, no. And I was like, what? Like, why? We spent hours in the cold filming it, then cutting it up. Please just tag us. And he was like, no. And I was like, yeah, okay, doesn't matter. Then have a good day.
He's not the jerk.
Yeah, you will not come far in life with that behavior. His answer on that was, bro, I earn $600 a day. And I was like,
Yo, and that he felt justified by the amount of money.
That shows it's incredible. And that's the point where we both say, look, you need a purpose. And if God puts you in that position where you even earn good money with it, that is great.
Fantastic.
But even there are loads of rich people every day who suicide themselves because they just, their purpose is the money and that is not fulfilling.
Yeah. And they get to the top.
Listen, prior to going to prison.
How was that? Yeah.
I owned a mortgage company, right? I had tons of money.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now, I was happier in prison and I am happier now than I ever was with millions of dollars. Yeah. Ever. I have better people around me. I feel better about myself. Like that, honestly, but I would have never, you know what I used to tell myself when I would hear people say that money doesn't mean anything? They're losers.
Yeah.
That's a loser mentality. Until you go through something and you get out and you realize like, wow, like all those people that idolized me because I had money or I was making them money, like those people didn't care about me.
No.
Yeah.
Those people were scumbags.
Yeah.
So, you know, now the people I have around me, they care about me. I know because I've got no benefit to them. I can't make them any money.
Yeah.
You know, so now they just hang out with me because they just like me and we hang out and we have fun and, you know, that's it. That's the better. And look, I'm not saying I'm opposed to making a bunch of money. I'm thrilled. No. I'd love to make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
But it's not the end all be all of existence.
No, it's not the number one objective for us as human beings. And also it comes along with many, many problems. Like you said, sometimes when you make a lot of money, you tend to not know whether the people around you are really there for you or whether they're really there for the money that you're making. It's a very, it's also a scary place to be at, to feel like you're alone with all this bunch of money around you, or you feel like you're paying people for the things that you would intrinsically like to be free. For example, the friendship, you may be paying people for friendship. In some ways, you know that these people are around you only for the money or a huge partly because of how successful you are. People don't understand how not great being rich is. It's good. You're not poor. You have food in your belly. You have somewhere to stay. Maybe you have some certain luxuries in life that other people don't have, but it brings about its own problems as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I you know, so Jordan Peterson, there was an interview I watched on him where somebody was saying, he said, well, how much money would make you happy or something along those lines? And the guy said, oh, if I had, you know, I don't know what the number was. It was like $10 million. And he goes, really? Do you think you could handle that responsibility?
Yeah.
Like, what would be the first thing you would do? You know, I'd give this much to, you know, my mother, and I'd buy my sister this, and I'd give this much to this person. And he'd be like, you can't balance your own finances with a little bit of money. You're now going to start taking away people's purpose in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most people's purpose in life is to make money.
Yeah.
They have no idea how miserable they would be if they achieved it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you is achieving your goal because suddenly it's now what is my purpose? And without your purpose, trust me, life becomes really, really intolerable very quickly.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I think that is why it's important that the money is the bonus and not the fulfilling part, because if you actually do something that fulfills you and next to it you have the money, that is good. Because I think we can agree on the fact that money makes life easier till a certain extent.
For sure.
And but the problem that I realized with a lot of people when I asked them, especially in our generation where everyone is just trying to seek the limitless luxury life and with all the best stuff, the thing is, when you ask them, would you rather take 5 million euros or be just happy but you have nothing? And the people would choose the money. And that is the big point. For it should be the mindset that if you have the safety that brings you normal money of being able to move your family if stuff happens, to afford good education for your kids, good nutrition, a good life with your wife and kids, if that all would be insured for 100%, then you should be able to drop the money away. If that's not the case, then you're on the wrong side. And that means you're seeking all the money just to live that life that will definitely not make you happy.
Yeah, that means you've got the idea of money wrong, because money essentially should be a means of helping your situation, of, like David said, helping your children go to a good school, get them good education, helping them get fed and have a good place to stay, get some trips maybe to somewhere every year to a nice place for holidays. Money isn't, some people don't remember that money is to be spent on good things, not just to accumulate a huge amount. And then that would make you happy, having all this bunch of paper around or this number in your bank account. That doesn't make any sense.
You know, what's funny is I do say, like, I'm like, I wish, it's funny, like, I wish I was making more money from, you know, YouTube or doing other things. But the reason I want to make that additional money is so that I can do more YouTube.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I can write more. Like,
yeah.
I'm not doing it just to get the money, because now then I'm going to go buy a new car and I'm going to buy
the
new car. I really just want to do it so that I can enjoy the other things that I'm doing that really make me happy.
Yes.
And that's the goal with the YouTube thing, is that I'm hoping, you know, if it keeps going the way it's going, then eventually that pays all my bills. And then I'll just double down on it. Then nobody will ever get rid of me. I'll be on every day.
Yeah. That is, we can definitely agree on that. If you are passionate about something, and I think your story, I think everyone who is on YouTube, a lot of people, let's say, they have a great story behind what they do or what moved them to do it. Mm-hmm. But your story is definitely top notch. That there is nothing more moving in life. Maybe other crazier family disasters or sickness, illness, those things are maybe above, but the rest for sure. If you have something like that and you're passionate about it, and it's the same like for us, you want the good money to come and you're happy because you're like, look, wow, we can even afford better gear to even pump out better videos, have more time for doing what we love. And that, I think, is in the end purpose as well. That is the proof that it's the purpose.
So I don't know if do you guys want to plug anything? You want to plug your channel or anything? Because I mean, I kind of have to call, like, I could keep talking forever.
But yeah.
I just got a notification that says, hey, you know.
Yeah. No, sure. Yeah.
Do you guys you want to plug your channel and what you, like, what is the official pitch for what the company that you've got does?
Yeah, so basically we are two people who study medicine and dentistry in Romania. We moved from Germany and the UK here because we couldn't get a place, like loads of people, and we searched for a place where we can study medicine and dentistry for affordable prices, and that's why we came to Romania. If someone is listening or knows someone who also wants to study medicine or dentistry, you can just hit us up. It's ro-maniac.com. There you can just book a free consultation call and or just email us or message us on Instagram, and we will take care of you and your application to a med school. We in generally guarantee the place, otherwise you would get your money back. And yeah, you would come here, meet us, we would help you set up your life in Romania and become a doctor.
Yeah, and the main thing is that you don't even have to learn a new language. Everything is in English.
In English. Yes.
That's great, because Americans, we
don't
barely speak English. speak English.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, also, and you know, subscribe to everybody, your channel, and you've got two channels, or I saw three that were hooked up.
We have two. So we have Romaniac, so that's R-O-Maniac. Yeah, that's it. Romaniac is our main channel. We do interviews, street kind of stuff. We'll be implementing some of the ideas that you gave to us. Yes. That's awesome.
I'm telling you, I think that some of those would be good.
They would.
Yeah,
be.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for giving them to us.
Yeah.
We do interviews about all sorts of stuff in Romania, lifestyle. We travel around the whole country as well. Do really cool explorative type of videos too.
Yeah.
We also have a podcast on our second channel where we do reactions. We have an official podcast called The Romaniac Show. Our second channel is Romaniac Live, and you can listen to the podcast on all audio platforms.
Yeah.
It's called The Romaniac Show.
It's all Romania centered, and that's all the content.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke a bit about the nomad kind of lifestyle for people who have their own kind of, who have their own jobs and are looking to go to somewhere that's really cool. Lots of people end up coming to Romania from the US. We had an interview on our on the Romaniac show with a Romanian lawyer who helps people make companies and move here and make a lot of money, enter the real estate game in Romania as well, because it's incredibly lucrative. So if anybody's out there wondering of where to go to kind of invest, or where to go to kind of live for a couple months, or
low tax, come
very
to Romania.
Low taxes, or as low as 1%, go watch that episode on the Romaniac show on all audio platforms with the Romanian lawyer. It will be very, 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 very.
You know what we should do? Like next week, you guys should interview me about being on the run and how I should have gone to Romania.
We will set that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, we can just, we'll yeah, that. Yeah,
like,
we can.
Like how inexpensive, how I could have relocated, you know, that, I mean, it's hokey, but then you could talk about, we could talk about being on the run, like getting driver's licenses, getting passports. Like, keep in mind, I went to Italy, I went to Greece, I went to the Bahamas, I went to, Bermuda, I went to Jamaica, Mexico, Croatia, all on fake passport, or not, they were real passports, a US US State Department issued, they just weren't my name, but I traveled extensively. Like, I could have gone to Romania.
What we can also do is like ask, we can combine that with talking about the Tate situation, what you, otherwise we interview you with our questions about what you think about it.
That would be good. Good. I'll watch Fight Club again.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I mean, let me know. I'll talk to Colby about it. We'll have to set it up.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. Thank you so much. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. I think just to tell you, it was one of the most interesting conversations I have.
For
in
sure.
Life.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you guys watching. If you like the video, do me a favor, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell so you get notified of videos just like this. Leave a comment for me in the comment section. Also, Colby, the guy that runs my YouTube channel and does a lot of the editing, he's going to leave the links for the Romaniacs for their YouTube channel. He's going to leave it in the description box. So subscribe to their channel, watch their stuff. They've got some great stuff. It sounds like they're going to be coming out with a lot more interesting stuff, and I might be interviewed on theirs probably in a week or so. Leave me a comment. I try and comment to as many people as possible. It got away from me probably a week or so ago, but I'm catching up right now. And listen, I appreciate you guys watching the video. So see ya. And let me, all right. Yeah, that's, and you guys were nice and quiet during that too. So that was cool.
Of course, we can't be interrupt our outro.
Jock, I got people banging stuff in the background. I'm like, what the hell's this guy doing?